We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Trying not to score everything with about 30 threes or something.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of felt that. We kind of feed off that energy.
This place is amazing. Like, I really love Duke, and I love the atmosphere I'm in here.
Mark Williams, beast mode. Paolo, first half, he had the cramping stuff. Fair enough. Beast mode.
My bad, Russ. Didn't mean to cut you off there. Didn't mean to.
I thought it was me. I was going for it. And then
Zion,
Zion
storming the court on my comment there. Jesus Christ.
I didn't mean to do that. That was a mistake.
Jesus Christ. I guess I'm giving that for that. I'm giving the rain, the sad rain for everything.
Oh, man. Got to mute my notifications first and foremost because these people are being corny about the storm in the court. But yeah, man, crazy cast. We back another episode. We'll talk about the game, but it's kind of hard to focus on the game right now because of the circumstances of Kyle Filipowski getting hurt during the court storm. Before the loss, I guess, what's going through your minds right now as Flip is in the locker room?
Russ, go ahead. You had a good analogy or analysis.
Yeah. I think that we don't know how serious it is. So, it's hard for me. It's easy to fear the worst, right? It's very easy to be very concerned and fear the worst. But we also don't know that it's going to be the worst. It's more just this shouldn't happen. Like, obviously, I've got a bunch of morons in my mentions talking about how it's Flip's fault for taking a sweet time leaving the court. If you watch the replay, they're running on the court the second it hits point zero. Like, the second it hits point zero. There was no opportunity to get off the court unless you wanted him to never take the court in the first place in those last 2.8 seconds, which is completely insane. So I would beg people, even people who hate Duke, to use just a fraction of human empathy for 2 seconds and just think about the fact that maybe this kid might be badly hurt. Somebody in the comments is saying John just said it was a sprain. Even if it's a sprain, it's unacceptable. We almost had Caitlin Clark injured badly in a court storm earlier this year. The discourse was crazy. Obviously, if Kyle misses any time at all, then the discourse is going to be crazier. It's going to be absolutely nuts. And, it's been looming on the horizon that court storming is either going to end or, in my opinion, the obvious answer, you put security there, rope it off, let the teams clear, then let the fans storm the court. So easy. It doesn't take much. We've seen guys do this before. We've seen schools do this before, right? They give the team 20 seconds to leave or whatever, and then they storm the court. It's not hard. It's very, very easy. So, that's definitely coming. I can't imagine that the discourse will let up at any point. And even if court storming continues after this because Flip's not seriously injured, please God, let's hope that that's the case, somebody will get seriously injured at some point during a court storm unless they do delays. You know, so just delay it. It's still going to be fun. They're still going to get to run out there. They're still going to have a great time. I stormed the court in college at Duke. It was a great time. You know, delay it. It's or it's going to be done away with because someone's going to get really hurt.
Yeah, it's not that difficult. And it's tough watching this video back, the one that you're watching or showing there, Zion, with you can just see the rage and sire. And I think Neil's eyes when they're trying to help off, literally they're an All-American player off the court. I mean, look at Shire there. Look at Neil just screaming like, yeah, I think he says, get the F out of here. Like, it's just absolutely ridiculous that they can't just wait till the players get off the court. I have no issues with court storming, kind of like you said, but if I don't know how you could call it a sprain. I'm trying to find wherever that tweet was or who said it about, oh, Flip sprained his ankle. When are we going to ban court stormings is what John said. He goes, I don't want to take away from the game that Wake played. When I played, it was 10 seconds and then they would run on the floor. Flip just sprained his ankle, guys. I mean, depending upon if it's a high ankle, low ankle, how bad it is, that could be season ending, could be out until March. It could be a week. He could be back next game, which I doubt that at this point, but like ankle sprain could mean so many different things. This is not good. Not good for Duke. They played a great game today. Credit to Wake. It was a good game all around. Duke had some defensive lapses, but like all in all, this team fought. And then to have this happen to a player that we just can't be without when it comes to the end of the season. Not great. Not great.
Yeah. I don't get this comment. It's on Flip just as much as Wake.
It's insane. I have so many people in my
mention. People are claiming he should have been running off the court or shouldn't have been in that part of the court. No, it's not his problem to get he as a player, he's entitled to be on the court a million times more than any fan is entitled to be on that court. He should have ample amount of time to get off the court, especially when it's still a couple seconds left. It's just absolutely ridiculous to have that comment.
Yeah, and like just the fact that Duke actually ran a play in order to get the ball to Flip in the middle of the floor. Not that I agree with that. I feel like if you want to put blame on Flip, put blame on Duke, I'd blame it on Shire more than Flip, you know.
And there's no blame. I'm not blaming anybody on Duke. I'm sorry. Yeah. I can't. There's fans on the court. Not a player or coach's fault.
At the same time, like, there's going to have to be something done. Unfortunately, you know, college basketball, people love short corners, but if Flip is truly hurt and this is going to be an injury that, you know, affects our season, especially the home stretch of the season, like there's a chance that this could alter Duke's entire NCAA tournament. And that would have to come with rules. That would have to come with something, the law being laid down, maybe banning court storming in some fashion. But there's just no excuse for a player getting hurt during this situation. And, you know,
consequences. And I don't mean to make it seem like if it was somebody else, it wouldn't have mattered as much, but it does matter. The fact that it's like, it's Duke star player, preseason All-American, like an absolute anchor to this team. It doesn't matter who it is, but just the fact that it is Flip, I feel like does make this 10 times worse. And something will have to be done. The ACC is going to have to come up with something by Monday morning.
Guys, I want to not to cut you off, Ryan. Connor O'Neill is reporting that John Shire said in the presser that Caleb Foster also got hurt at some point in the second half, saying it was an ankle injury.
I didn't notice we didn't see any of Foster.
Yeah,
he was playing. He was playing pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know where he got hurt. But yeah, that's also in the reporting. Fun. What a great season. So fun and great. You know, it really is like just when it rains, it fucking pours. We can't like, you know, Mark Mitchell misses time. Proctor misses time and then he misses time again for a concussion. Roach misses a game. Foster with an ankle injury misses, you know, most of the second half of that game. Flip might be hurt. I mean, like, where obviously Reeves and Shoot both had to get surgery, so depth that they could have theoretically provided goes out the window. I mean, like, what in the world? whose karmic cornflakes did we fucking piss in, you know, to have this many injuries to this many players? Luckily, like, not many of them to the main core contributors have been, you know, serious, but man, just like, wouldn't it's not just because it hurts in individual games. It just hurts the chemistry long-term. If you can't play more reps on the court together with the guys that you want in the big games, like over and over and over again, like,
yeah.
Sucks.
It's and even back to, because Ryan, back to your point of them storming the court timing wise, I definitely saw them on the court before the buzzer. This tweet shows it. I mean, there was already mad people on the court when it was 0.1 left. Unacceptable.
Imagine situation. Letting them go through before the buzzer even sounds. Like, I get a tenth of a second, sure, but the buzzer hadn't even gone off yet, and they're letting people on the court. Asinine, dude. Absolutely insane. Fire everybody. That's nuts, dude. Nuts.
Dude, yeah. This is also good. You can tell Shire's pissed. Connor O'Neill's got another. He's at the presser. Connor said this. Shire said about Wake, this win shouldn't validate them being in the tournament. If we bang in a three and win, what are we even talking about?
Wait, who said that?
Shire did.
He did say that?
Apparently. I mean, Connor's at the press conference. He's the one reporting all these things. So,
oh man.
I mean, unless Connor, you know, mistyped a key word there. look, I think it's worth noting, first of all, obviously.
Well, hold on real quick. That's out of context. Absolutely has to be, because he's saying that they should have been. I think he's saying that as if they should have been in the tournament regardless, not that this doesn't put them in.
Maybe. But let me.
I don't think Shire would.
Shire would not give that much of a dagger comment.
I know. Fair enough. But let me just address, because people have been commenting for the last like week, why isn't Wake in the tournament? Wake's obviously a tournament team. Wake's obviously a tournament team. Yeah, Wake was like, I think coming into this game, 21st in KenPom. I mean, that's very, very good. And I think they had a top 30 net. I don't remember what it was, you know. But again, very, very good. The problem is their resume was not good. Like, their resume, they coming into this game, they, if I remember correctly, were 1-5 against Q1 opponents and 4-4 against Q2 opponents. That's 5-9 with one Q1 win. That's not a tournament resume. Like, I know that resume isn't the only thing that matters, but resume, at the end of the day, we know that the NCAA tournament committee every year, they put in people with bad losses. And they leave because they beat big teams, and they leave out teams that don't have bad losses because they didn't beat big teams. And so I'm assuming that all the people who were saying that as of this moment, Wake was not in coming into this game, that it was because specifically they didn't have big wins. Now they have a big win, right? Now they're almost certainly in, and because of their KenPom and because of their net, they're not going to be like a play-in team. They're going to be like an 8 seed, like a 9 seed. You know, like, the resume helps determine who gets in, and then the predictive metrics help, you know, adjust seeding accordingly. So I still think they're going to be like an 8-9 seed. I thought they were going to get there anyway, even if they didn't win today, because they had two more quad one opportunities. But like, yeah, I think that people conflate being a really good tournament level team, which is definitely true, with having a tournament level resume, which they didn't really have until today. And now they obviously do.
Yeah. But I mean, when I look at that team is a tournament team. I mean,
they're as good as a tournament team, and they were before this game. Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. They just needed a big win in order to lock up the resume. And now they have.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just look at, you know, just their offensive ability. They have a star who's definitely going to be eventually. I feel like he's going to be a lottery pick, especially play his way up there.
He'll be a first rounder. I think he'll go this year. I don't know that he'll be a lottery this year. Maybe if he should stayed,
be lottery.
I think he'll be just a first rounder, but he should be
lottery. That is my point. He has all the qualities of a 6'5", 6'6" wing with a 6'11" wingspan.
I'm not disagreeing.
His floor is a 3-and-D guy, and that's valuable in a shitty draft. But anyway.
It is a bad draft. That would help.
Yes. Okay. Well, we can move on for the draft. But on the fact of Wake Forest, that's a tournament team. And you just look, you know, how we played today defensively. We could not get a stop. You know, whether it was either we were going to die in the post or we were going to die on the perimeter. But either way, defensively, we were going to die, you know. I think offensively, we played well enough to win. I don't see this as a bad loss. Like, really, I don't. Wake Forest at home has been great this year. I think they beat a lot of teams in the country at home this year. And I think for the most part –
they're undefeated at home this year.
I think for the most part, you know, I think we played well. And for most of the game, especially with Roach and foul trouble, you know, of all the foul trouble we had today, I thought we responded well to every punch. You know, even later when Wake took back a momentum in the second half, we responded, we came back. And eventually it was just going to be a game of who throws the last punch. And Wake threw the last punch, couple turnovers down the stretch, you know. The Tyrese play, people are going to, you know, harp on kill Tyrese, but, you know, it was a bad decision, and I think he played well today, you know.
Yeah.
He played well today. Roach was great down the stretch. Roach had a key turnover down the stretch, but he was still great today. McCain had his moments. I mean, you know, it was a great basketball game.
Yeah, and Duke Monty was mentioning me, and he's calling me out here again. You can play a good game and lose. Like, you can play a good 38 minutes and lose the game. I don't know where this is coming from. You obviously can. Like, I'm not one for moral victories, but if there was ever a moral victory for this team, I feel like this was somehow it, just because of the fact that they got punched in the mouth multiple times in this game on the road and still came back and took the lead multiple times. Honestly, the game at the last minute of the game, when Roach turned it over twice in a row and then Proctor turned it over at the end, like, that, if those two things don't happen, three things don't happen, it's a completely different game. And I just think that, the energy was there. The bounce back was there. There was never just slouching or anything. There wasn't. The only issue I had was leaving guys open on the 3-point line, obviously. And then we switched to zone, which I'm having a hard time like bashing these guys, because I really am happy with it. This was like the first time I was like, I'm happy with the way we played, even though it was a loss. Like, it was just a tough game on the road. It is what it is. So I don't want to get into bashing everybody, but going to zone there made absolutely no sense. I know everybody's like, oh, they're in foul trouble. Yeah, but they went to, now you're for sure leaving guys wide open on the outside and giving them a chance to do what they've been doing already, which was draining threes and making open shots. And so that part, he didn't go to it for very long. So it is what it is. But
it was one possession, and then they realized, oh, that's,
yeah,
that. You shouldn't exactly. Do that.
Duke played a good game. Wake Forest is a great team. They're a great team at home. As long as Foster and Flip are okay, like, I'm okay with this. It just hurts because of what happened to end the game. And if Foster is actually hurt, Duke has good guard depth, but Foster's been playing well. He shot the ball well today. That would suck too. So I'm not one for moral victories, especially as I'm a Minnesota fan. We lose all the time and we always talk about moral victories, but as a Duke fan, there's not many of them. And I feel like this one was an okay one for a moral victory. The team played well, just Wake Forest happened to have a really good night. And it was at their place. And so hats off to them. We move on and we go smack Louisville on Wednesday.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm watching a video of a fan very clearly just like trying to hit Kyle Filipowski when he ran out in the slow-mo video.
Fun. That discourse is going to be great. So, this is one of the two or three hardest games we had all year on the schedule. I mean, at Carolina being the hardest. And, you know, but playing the 21st ranked team on KenPom on the road versus playing Arizona, the fourth ranked team at home, I'd still say Arizona's a little harder, but like neck and neck at that point, because winning on the road is so goddamn hard. I thought we played well for the most part. The most important thing to me was the response to physicality. I mean, this was obviously a very physical game. A lot of people were complaining about the foul calls. Look, the two early fouls that Roach committed and the two early fouls that Mitchell committed were both fouls. Like, all four of them were obviously fouls. And they were the ones that I think really, unfortunately, changed, you know, sort of the long term of how hard Mark could defend in particular. So I'm not really that concerned about that. Plus, as we saw last year, we're going to play teams in the tournament that are going to play Duke this way. They're going to say, in their scouting, Duke does not play very many teams that just like go physical all the time. Every time they're going to dare the refs to call a bunch of fouls and they're going to play us this way. So Duke can't get down on themselves or look for foul calls in games like this. And I don't think they did. I thought they did a really good job of continuing to fight, even through some frustration, which is really encouraging for the long run. The inability to find three-point shooters on defense is something that has plagued Duke all year. It obviously hurt us really badly a couple of key stretches today. The zone choice was somebody tweeted at me that it felt like waving a white flag. And like, I kind of agree. It felt like a, well, nothing else is working, so let's just like try something else. And I just don't like that. People can talk all day about protecting flip. If somebody goes at flip, they're going to score 2 points. And, you know, I'm not a math wizard or nothing, but 3 points is 1 point more than 2 points. And Wake Forest is a top 25 three-point shooting team in the country, and they have guys who can create, you know, multiple guys who can create and create for other people and pass the ball. So zone was never going to work. I thought that was insane. Luckily, it was only one possession. And then just some bad turnovers down the stretch. You know, that's something that can happen. We have not played in too many games like this as a team this season, I wouldn't say. So, you know, it was unfortunate that two of them were from Roach, who has been in this position a bunch. Wake, obviously, being a more physical team, stronger team, larger team, maybe that the size, you know, gave him a little bit of trouble in some of those situations, or maybe he felt the pressure of like, I'm the oldest, I'm the experienced one, I'm the one who's got to carry the team here. I don't know. I thought he played a good game beyond that and a couple of defensive lapses here and there. I thought Roach was pretty good. Yeah, like both of you have said, I think in general, we looked pretty good. I would have liked to see more Sean in a game like this. Again, just for size reasons. I think that might have helped. But again, that's especially once Foster wasn't playing anymore, going big. They've got two big guys out there. The thing that was killing me was once Reed sat, you saw how good Duke looked when Reed sat. And then when Reed came back in, because they had Reed and Carr, both are so big, and then Mitchell had the foul trouble, it mucked things up for us. It really like messed things up. I thought that the size then really killed us in some key places there. But a good game. And again, I feel as long as we're healthy, this is a game that is encouraging.
As long as we're healthy.
So apparently it's a knee and not an ankle for Flip.
Yeah, knee is worse.
Yeah, knee is much worse.
Knee is a lot worse.
Where do we see this? Because I've seen multiple tweets saying ankle.
I don't know. The comments are saying Flip said it's knee.
Oh.
So.
Flip told reporters it's his knee, not ankle. Yes, I'm seeing that right now. Yeah, Connor, who is there? Again, I'm just looking. Shout out to Connor O'Neill, who's at the game, like covering, like, and I'm just reading his feed right now. But yeah, he is saying that Flip said.
Oh, it's yeah. Then hopefully it's a bang knee, like you said before we went live, Russ. Hopefully it's just they bang knees, dead leg type thing. And if it's a the only issue is if they did bang knees, the fact that if it like popped it a certain way, that could absolutely sprain it and not just have it be like a contusion or a bad bruise. If it was pushed one way, then that's not good.
Yeah, because I can't see his knee in the video, I have no interest in, like, you know, unpacking what it.
No, I'm just like saying, like, from a seriousness level of like.
Sure. It's more the discourse is obviously going to correctly be on they shouldn't do this. I mean, Anthony points out that he couldn't walk. Yeah, I mean, but if you bang knees with somebody, man, it fucking hurts.
Oh, yeah. They're calling it a sprain.
It hurts real bad. Yeah, you can't walk. And also, if you're a guy who's 7 feet tall, you probably also want to play it safe, right? Like, you're not going to, like, if you're banging your knee and all of a sudden your knee really is screaming at you, you're not going to put weight on it. Like, no. You're going to be careful with it. You're very important to the team. So, again, you can see in the video that I saw, somebody goes for him. Like, somebody is clearly trying to mess with him on that video. And like, that's the sort of reason why you got to let the players leave, man. Got to let the players leave.
Do we want to watch the Shire video?
Yeah, we should.
Sure.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But look, for me, I'm more concerned about the well-being of our guys. You know, Flip sprains his ankle. When are we going to ban court storming? Like, when are we going to ban that? Like, how many times does a player have to get into something where they get punched or they get pushed or they get taunted right in their face? And it's a dangerous thing. And I don't want that to take away from the game that Wake played. Because Wake played a big-time game. Salas was as good as could be today, and hats off to them. But you look around the country, and Caitlin Clark, something happens. And now Flip, I don't know what his status is gonna be. He sprains his ankle. And it's one thing, like when I played, at least it was 10 seconds in the court, you know, you would storm the court. Now it's the buzzer doesn't even go off, and they're running on the floor. And this has happened to us a bunch this year. It's part of it. I don't want this to take away at all from Wake. They earned it, they deserve the win. Steve is a hell of a coach. I respect the heck out of him and his team. They're really good. And if this is an example that they need to be in the tournament, what are we even talking about? So I'll answer any questions. But for me, that's...
Yeah, there's that comment.
Yeah, there's, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. We need to learn from this.
Yeah, I 100% agree with everything you said. We've had this done to us a bunch this year. It's the heat of the comment, so it's just funny to me because it's like we don't want that to happen a bunch to us this year because that means we're losing games. But I get it. He made the right. I agree with him wholeheartedly, and it's just a tough look, man. It's a tough look. And when he said back in the day when I played, they waited 10 seconds. Was that a thing back then? I don't remember that ever being a thing.
I don't know. I can't verify that.
I'll tell you right now, when we beat Raymond Felton's UNC team at the very last second, and it was a total last second thing, My ass was absolutely on the floor within 10 seconds. I'll tell you that. Now, maybe by 2010, right? Like maybe by then they had put some safeguards in place. It's possible.
Russ is just unnecessarily aging himself right now.
I am. Yeah, yeah. That was at the very, very beginning of my time at Duke, to be clear.
We got flip. Hold on. Let's play this flip real quick.
I thought you were about to say we're pulling in flip. I'm like, wait, what?
I felt a bunch of hits on my body. This one was the worst of them. So it's just, like I said, it's just really ridiculous of how, that situation's handled.
Did you feel like any of it was on purpose or was it incidental?
I mean, I've already heard that there's some videos of getting punched in the back, and so I absolutely feel like it was personal, intentional for sure. Like I said, there's no reason where they see a big guy like me trying to work my way up the court and they can't just work around me. There's no excuse for that.
He got punched.
Some guys clearly like move their arms to whack him. Yeah. I mean, like I saw the slow-mo of it and there's like a guy who runs out and kind of like does one of these, look, I think there are a lot of really interesting ramifications as people are putting in the comments. Can you charge a fan for assault on a player? I'm not a lawyer. I don't know that. But I know a school that has a lot of lawyers who might consider it. Let's say he got very badly injured and it ended up hurting his draft stock, right? Let's say it was a really bad case situation. Let's pray to God it's not. That might cost him money. So can you sue a player? Can you sue a school? Can you sue a fan? Can you sue a school? Look, I'm not saying you should do that. And I'm not saying he's hurt. I'm not saying any of that. I don't know. But it raises interesting questions for the day that a big name player does get seriously injured by a fan in a court storm. I think it raises a lot of very interesting legal questions.
Drew, send me that video. DM me that video you're trying to send us. You can't click that link.
Here, I can. Zion, I think I have it here too. I can send it to you.
Okay.
Let me look back so I can find it. Yeah.
But yeah, Flip didn't address anything about his injury in that clip. But
I will say him talking about it. If a Duke player is seriously injured or injured to the point where he has to receive treatment right after the game, he's not talking to reporters, and Flip is smiling a little bit about it. Not saying he doesn't, like, you can't smile through the pain, but like, right. Seeing that makes me a little more optimistic as a fan. I don't know. The fact that he's talking to reporters and not just receiving constant treatment for whatever it is after the game, to me, is a good sign.
I
texted it to you, Zion.
Okay, cool. Let's hope it's not anything injury, a serious injury. Okay, let me see.
It's in slow-mo. It's going to be hard to see on the feed probably unless people full screen it.
Yeah, it's tough. I just watch my phone.
Yeah, when you have it on your phone, yeah, I mean, you can kind of see the conflict.
The kid literally goes by him like that.
Yeah, when you hold it up to your phone, like when you hold it up to your face like this, you can see there's some interaction there, maybe I'll politely say, right? Like this guy right there. And then, like, even some of the other people running by. I mean, look, man. Oh, they're going to replay it on ESPN any second now for anybody interested. Flip with the big three at the end after, I was hopeful there for a second. I didn't love that last play. But, like, also it's very clear that Proctor and Flip have great trust in one another. They run that two-game action a lot. Oh, wow, there's great footage on
Yeah, I just saw it.
Hold up. Oh, shit. And Shire fucking losing his mind.
Listen, I don't want to go on my YouTube.
Oh, I'm going to rewind this. Let me see. Hold on. I'm going to take video of this right now, and I'm going to send it to you so we can play it on the screen. Y'all keep talking.
Yeah. But, yeah. I don't know. I mean, this is a situation where – You gotta, you guys gotta hope Flip is good for where we play next. So Louisville. Yeah. I think that's a game. I hate to be like, you know, downplay a team. I feel like that's a game you could rest Flip. You know,
and yeah, if there's ever a game in the ACC that like Flip could miss and we should be okay, that's probably the one at home, too.
Yeah. But yeah, he did hit that big three at the end of the game. He has been struggling from three. I mean, overall this season, I think he just had big games. He's either going crazy from three or he's going to struggle. We've seen that all year. Shot at him was big, though.
Yeah, little concern. And like I said, I'm not going to don't want to try to talk negative about the situation, but stuff that I'm curious on going forward, because we're going to have bigger games than this and more games at the end that we're going to need crunch time guard play. And Roach and Proctor with the mishandles and just looking very panicky with the ball in those late seconds. And that'll be interesting going forward to see if it switches up, who's bringing the ball up the court late in games, just because of the Proctor situation where there was just a crowd around him and he threw it to Flip and on the perimeter just didn't make much sense and just looked like I tweeted out, it looked panicked. But I wonder if there'll be a change in, oh, wow. I wonder if there'll be a change in who handles the ball at the end.
Oh, do you have the clip? I'm sending it to you right now.
So maybe you got a clear version, but this is from, shout out to Drew. I guess you could see it. Yep. Oh, yeah. Someone did hit him in the back.
Can you? Yeah. So this guy definitely
runs in front of him. Yeah, that guy reaches right here.
What are you reaching? Like, what are you trying to do there? I don't think he hit him that hard, but what's your intent there? That's ridiculous.
But he did put, I mean, he did make contact when Flip was trying to avoid to this
he
guy.
He definitely pushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sent you a video that's a little better, Zion.
Also, shout out to that manager. Not much. Whoever that manager is, shout out to that manager, whoever jumped in right away and was actively on his way out trying to get Flip off the court. That was – shout out to him.
You sent me the video you sent?
Yeah. Are you able to play it? I just texted it directly to you.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, oh, I just took it off the TV. Yeah,
that was much clearer. It is clearer though.
Yeah, it's. I think it's still hard to tell exactly what happened, but you can see you can see him getting sort of spun around, him getting hit by people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't hear Seth Greenberg right now, but he's making a very serious face. I'm sure he's talking about how court storming is bad. The turnovers that were really bad were the Roach turnovers. I think the Proctor Flip miscommunication there, again, that's a two-man game they run all the time.
When is that crowded though on that side? It was just natural.
It was crowded. I think because we run the Proctor. Oh man, that's a really clear clip. Somebody
The other thing that I at the end there was when, and I get it, I get it in the moment. Shire used that last time out, I think a little too early. He used it after that Flip three, I'm pretty sure. And I would have loved to have had it after the defensive possession to set up an offense and set up a play with 9 seconds left. That would have been nice to have in that situation.
All right. Super clear video. They're now repeating it on ESPN over and over again of, yeah, guy just like bangs knees, knee on knee contact for sure. And then the rest of it is kind of is just what it is. But yeah, that first one, they're playing it in slow-mo on ESPN for anybody interested.
He's just a pinball machine when he's out there, man.
Yeah, I mean, people saying he sold it, but like he bangs knees. He bangs knees. Like, have you never banged a knee? Yeah.
Also, shout out Ryan Young too, running out there as soon as he saw Flip out there. I saw him come off. He ran off the bench there to come back out there, man.
Shire was fiery out there, dude.
Yeah, like, as he should be, man.
As he should be for sure. Like as he 100% should be, but you know, all the same. I don't know. you know, I don't know exactly what to make of it all, but I'll tell you this. It's only a matter of time. It's only, even if it's not this, you know, even if Flip's fine, it's only a matter of time. Somebody at some point is going to blow an ACL or is going to, you know, like sprain badly and miss serious time or be out for the season because they made contact with a fan on a court storm. It's only a matter of time unless they do something about it. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. It's not even a Duke thing. Like, let's say Flip is fine. Let's say he's completely fine, you know, which hopefully he is. It's going to happen eventually. It's going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
Like, and banging your knees fucking sucks.
Not a fun feeling, man. You can't put weight on it at all.
Yeah. It hurts so bad. It might not be like serious. It might just be like a bruise. But man, I tell you what, when those two things connect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You feel like grim death is approaching. It is bad, man. So I don't blame Flip for being immediately cautious, immediately upset. You know, as he should be. You know, we've got people in the comments trolling still, per usual. But
yeah, I'm seeing that. I'm like, maybe we should let people get back to their Saturdays and everybody take a deep breath.
This is just a weird situation. We expected to come on and talk about. I am sorry to the listeners online. I mean, listeners that are not video, because this is more so a lot of reactionary stuff to, you know, what we're seeing on the timeline and, you know, the videos we're seeing. But yeah, you know, very unfortunate situation. And I don't know how it will affect Duke's future, but, you know, you just hope that this is minor. You know, that's the biggest thing. Just hope that Flip is okay. You know, he's good to play. And, you know, the NCAA does something about it. But, yeah.
AJ in the comments says they can't control that many fans. Yes, they can, dude. I've been to games where they bring out, like, the little yellow rope. You know what I mean? Like, you've seen this at games where the security has, like, the tiny, like, yellow rope. And they bust it out and they got a few cops out there or whatever. And also, I'll tell you this. Somebody messaged me this. I don't know if it's true, but that, you know, there is a conference that fines the team and, like, gives the money to the other team. Or I don't fucking know. But it's so easy for a conference to just say, hey, if you storm the court before the other team's players are off the court, it's a $500,000 fine. I'll tell you what, they'll have cops out there toot sweet in a big game. They'll have them there. You know, if you make a financial incentive, then they will protect the players without fail, without fail. So not complicated, not hard. It's very easy to control fans. Also, you can't control fans. Have you ever been to a Taylor Swift concert, dude? You know, there's not dudes running up on stage, women running up on stage with Taylor Swift, and there's millions of these people. You know why? They got a bunch of cops there. And if you go up on the stage, you get in deep shit. It's very easy to control. You just have to put consequences to actions on the table. That's it.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Team Vandy says the SEC fines teams. That's what I'd heard. I didn't know whether it was true or not, but now I've had multiple people say it, so maybe it has some credence. Part of this is on Duke's coach, be two steps ahead if you don't like the storming. In what way? Have them leave the court before the game is over? Fans are on the court before the game is over.
Yeah.
But I will say, even to that point, because that was kind of what I was alluding to, a lot of the times, you know, we have seen, you know, Duke walk into the locker room before the game, and, you know,
But we have when the game isn't a 4-point game and you have a chance to inbound.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 4-point game with 0.8.
Well, sure, it's likely over, but like you would hope that you could. I get what you're saying, but
you know, that was kind of my only. I'm not putting blame on anyone, but you know, I don't think it's Flip's fault. It's not Flip's fault. You know, he's told to go play. You know, and go try to make a play. You know.
Yeah.
If you're storming the court, maybe just avoid the players. I don't know. Just like don't run into another human being when you're
charging. But like when
No, dude, you've got to let the players leave first. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if there are, like, even if you are able to storm the court early, like they were, just don't run into another human being. Just
look, when you're in college and you just won a big game and you start running, man,
you got stuff in your system.
It's a tsunami. It's genuinely like a tsunami. You just start running, man. I tell you what, being it like when Duke beat UNC and you go out there and they're burning the benches and like shit is going crazy and everyone is running to the benches. I got my ass knocked down real hard on top of a big old pile of glass beer bottles and it sucked. You know what I mean? And nobody was targeting me. They're just running, man. They're just running. Yeah. You're just like, you're lost in the moment. And it's easy to like let it get the better of you and not think about consequences to your actions at that point. That's what security is supposed to be for. That's what administration is supposed to be there for. You know?
My thing is also, why did Steve Forbes call a timeout?
Oh.
Because Duke didn't have any timeouts.
Yeah. I think, you know, again, I read this on Twitter for whatever the hell that's worth. But like I read somewhere that they informed security like, hey, these guys are going to rush the court. And maybe that's a reason, I don't know, to let logistics be set up to give some time. It didn't work if that was the intent. Okay. Yeah, so I don't want, and Forbes also made comments after the game where he said he does not like court storming. Right, so he's giving a good classy answer. I like Steve Forbes. He's a good coach. He's a really good coach, actually.
Very good.
Yeah, he's one of the better ones in the conference. So look, more to the point, I thought Duke more or less played well. We've got to figure out how to defend the perimeter more consistently, especially when players get off ball. Our freshman off ball in particular, and obviously there was one very obvious one with Roach. There's too much ball watching. And I don't really know what the solution is this late in the season for that, other than keep telling them not to. But there is a lot of ball watching that takes place, and I think that's why a lot of the three-pointers look so wide open and you're going, why did they get that look? And I posted a video of McCain just like abandoning Salas to go, you know, help defend inside for some reason, you know.
That had to be a game plan though, because I don't think you do that willingly.
Well, like, Roach looked back at McCain with the two arms, what are you doing, hands. And McCain definitely looked back at him and kind of did like a, you know, like, so there was a miscommunication maybe. Maybe he thought Roach was supposed to rotate, although I don't understand why he would think that in that moment. Again, if you microanalyze individual plays, then, you know, it gets really hard to like suss out exactly what's happening. Yeah. But I thought it was a good representative of our top priority defending today was not sticking a man on Hunter Salas at all times. And that, I think, is pretty inexcusable. So,
and also, I think Spatola said it on our broadcast, but I was thinking it too. I thought, honestly, Jerry McCain did a better job on Hunter Salas than Tyrese Proctor did.
I was going to say, I don't know why he wasn't on him more, to be honest with you.
I think that's true, and I think a lot of that had to do with Salas's strength. I think probably Proctor was on Salas because of his size advantage versus McCain, but Salas was getting inside pretty easily on him. And I don't know what Hunter Salas weighs. It's a pretty easy lookup, but he is definitely more, he's got more meat on his bones than Proctor does, probably would be my guess.
Sure. Just by looking at it.
Yeah. Proctor's 180. It says Salas is 185. I don't think he's only got 5 more pounds than.
There's definitely a difference. Proctor may not be 180 either.
Yeah, there's some funny math going on there, I think. But yeah, but McCain did better, I think, just because he's stockier, right? He's got more build. McCain's problem is never on ball. McCain's problem is always off ball. And that's a freshman thing. Freshmen lose players off ball and they ball watch them. That happens. I'm not faulting him for that, but. Right.
But yeah, on ball, I did think McCain did a better job than Proctor today. But again, but that wasn't even the biggest issue. The biggest issue was he was open so much. Yeah, like 12 of his points were four like wide open threes. You know,
we were focusing on stopping Carr in the paint rather than Hunter Salas, who was the first round pick.
Rather than the first team all ACC first rounder who's having an insanely efficient offensive season. Yes.
Yeah.
Good that was plan.
That was weird to me. But I mean, I definitely think there's a lot of positives. I mean, Proctor shot the ball really well today. Duke shot the ball really well on the road, especially from the outside, I guess, aside from Flip. But yeah, even, you know, the stretch that McCain had, the sequence where he stopped Silas and pulled up in transition, I thought that was like going to be the moments we pull away. But, you know, Wake Forest responded with two buckets, straight buckets. So, you know, I thought there were a lot of positives. You know, the team played with swag today. You know, Wake Forest was just on another level offensively.
Do you think that Duke, this is like, it feels like a weird thing to think about because of the way that basketball is going just in general. I feel like Duke fares a lot better against like more modern teams, more switch everything teams. It feels like our team is built to be a switch everything team. And then when we encounter teams that are more like size oriented, more, you know, like hit you inside oriented, and we can't switch anymore, then we have to play like drop or some other different type of scheme in order to account for that. It feels like those are moments when Duke really starts to struggle. Or maybe I'm just using small sample size here, but like,
yeah, we've won games where we could switch. And we also lost games where we could switch. I mean, Pitt is a good example. But then again, we were missing Mark Mitchell, the game we lost with Pitt. The game we won, we switched everything, beat him by, 25, 30 points. I definitely think, you know, Wake Forest is a hard team to kind of pit against, you know, the normal team, just because I feel like they're offensively, they literally have everything. Like, they have a wing who can score. They have the guard play. They have shooters on the wing. They have people who could get to the rim. They have post players. They have a big that can shoot. Like, they really have everything offensively that you kind of need in college basketball. So I don't think every team has that.
Yeah. I just want, like, you know, Arizona is obviously a team you defend and drop. Like, UNC is obviously a team you defend and drop. Wake isn't even necessarily like a drop coverage team because their big men can go out there, but you definitely cannot switch on them for sure. Because they were, when we tried doing that, Carr would just get like Proctor or Roach on him, and then everything on the defensive side was completely blown up.
I mean, if you have Sean in, and if you have Sean and Flip or Sean and Mark in, and it's, and Ryan Young's not, if Ryan Young's out there, then it's, you can't do any switching at all. You have to play drop the whole time. But I feel like, and that's why I didn't really get tonight, why Sean wasn't playing as much as he thought he could have, just based on us keeping guys in the perimeter wide open. I feel like on a running switch there would have helped a little bit in some capacity. He probably would have followed out, but it couldn't have hurt, right?
I mean, Ryan Young played well today.
Like, he did. He played very well.
Yeah, but I think that's a great indication of exactly what I'm talking about. Like, if they were more of a pure switch team, then that's definitely not something Ryan can handle. But in terms of holding his own against guys like Carr or Reed, he's got the size. He doesn't lose guys off ball. He works really hard. So he played really well. He got one or two sort of soft foul calls, and then one or two really not smart fouls that he committed, obviously. But like, I thought he was really good. I would have liked to see Sean more, but I do think that Sean is more of an asset in like sort of a pure switch game. I don't know. I don't really know exactly how to suss that out, but I do think, especially in the second half when Foster's out, when Mitchell has like three, when Flip has four, when Ryan Young fouled out with like 7 minutes left or whatever, just running a couple of minutes of size. And like, I would have preferred seeing that versus seeing a flash of zone. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. The flash of zone is still wild to me. I mean, I get What's his name? Hillbreath was struggling from three this year, but you know, this team was lights out today. They were shooting 62% from the field when we went to zone. It wasn't like, you know, they were gonna all of a sudden start missing. This team, they were hitting everything tonight.
What's their box score? Can you go to their box score for a second for their game? The home stats. Home stats. Yeah. Right. Scroll down because I can't see it. Yeah, 52.9% from three. That number was 33% at the half. You know, that tells you how well they shot in the second half. And again, not to keep citing Connor O'Neill, but he was the one that pointed out on Twitter to me that in the last five games before this, Wake had shot an average of 50% from three. You know, like they make shots at home. Like they just do. they have all season. You know, like you can't try to flash things against them that will turn them into a team that has to make outside shots, because they'll do it. They're super good at it.
Yeah. It's you ran into a buzzsaw today, but you know, I don't think it's, like I said last episode, I don't think this game, you know, will change my mind on how I feel about this Duke team. I think, you know, the upside is still there. And to be honest, I was very impressed with the offense today, because it felt like today offense was – that was an elite Duke offense. You know, I saw, you know, pretty much a bit of everything, us kind of get where we wanted to. And I think, you know, going forward, that's something good to build off of. Even though the numbers say, you know, we're a great offense, we know we all watch Duke the whole year. Sometimes they have their lapses, you know, and it don't look like the best functioning offense. But tonight, you know, I thought they were great.
Yeah, 12 of our 26 baskets were assisted. You'd like it to be like a scoonch more than that, but that's not bad at all. We did win the battle of the boards, which I think is really promising. Doubled their offensive rebound count, again, promising. 11 turnovers. I mean, like, if we just turn the ball over two fewer times, we win the game. I mean, I know that's like something that they could also say on the other side, but like,
right.
It's just one of those games that was so close throughout that little bits and pieces, one play here, one play there, and then that's everything. So when you lose a game like that and you think on the whole you generally played pretty well, I don't know. I can't get too upset about it, especially when it's a good team. And Mark Mitchell, somebody pointed out that Mark was like a minus 20 today or whatever. I just think those two early fouls shook him a little bit. Like, you could tell on defense against Carr, he was trying to protect himself, and Carr was just bullying him as a result, which is unfortunate. That goes back all the way to last year when we didn't have Mark for the Tennessee game. For a game like this, you really, really need Mark.
Yeah,
like you absolutely. Just really, really need Mark. And to have Mark sort of playing at a more cautious bent tonight, today, wasn't what we needed. But
yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
So, question for y'all going forward before we get out of here. So now we Duke lost this game, drops this game. UNC looks like they're gonna win this game. You never know though, but they look like they're gonna win. What are your thoughts going forward on, I guess, our ACC chances?
Got to win out. I mean, it's gonna be tough, but that's about the only way you're gonna do it is win out. And the only game left that really scares me is the NC State on the road game. Otherwise, I think we can accomplish that. But going to NC State the game before hosting Carolina at home is a recipe for something we've seen a lot of in the past when we go to NC State. So that's kind of my thoughts on what we need to do, and hopefully don't stumble there.
Yeah, I don't think UNC will lose again until potentially March 9th when they play us, right? Like, when you look at their schedule, this is the game that they needed to lose. If we were going to have that buffer zone, it needed to be this one. I agree. I just don't think Virginia has I don't think they have the juice to win a game like this against a team as talented as UNC. So if you win versus UNC and you win out, yeah, then you tie for the ACC regular season title. Frankly, I don't really care about that. health. You know, I would love to get to a point where we only lose one more game, because I think if we only lose one more game, we make a deep run ACC tournament, don't lose anything dumb, then we're a three seed. And, you know, we're in pretty good shape as a result of that.
I think my thing more with winning the ACC regular season is, can we get a higher seed than Carolina?
We cannot. I don't think we can anymore. Like, unless we, maybe if we beat Carolina and Carolina loses another game. I mean, Virginia's getting a little feisty here, maybe. But Carolina has that huge win against Tennessee pre-conference play. They beat Oklahoma pre-conference in a game that was technically not at home. Yeah, I think their wins out of conference, like their best two wins, I think are going to look better to people than our best two wins.
Okay, so say they lose today.
If they lose today and we beat Carolina and we win out, including beating Carolina, then yeah, then I do think we are probably ahead again, assuming that we don't phone in a game in the ACC tournament. Yeah, I think that's probably fair. But again, yeah, it would definitely, well, like, let me, you look for, you say, you start maybe wrapping up for 2 seconds and I want to look at.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, if we're going to win the regular season tournament, and obviously I think the ACC tournament, because what we've seen in the past couple of years, the ACC tournament hasn't been the all say all be all. Even if you win it, when you get to the finals, they don't really factor it in really into the ultimate seeding, which is kind of why I want to win the regular season.
Finals, they don't. And the semifinals, maybe also not. But if you lose early, they do factor it in, right? Like, they just start locking teams into seed lines by, like, Saturday. So then, like, whatever happens Saturday or, like, late Friday, they clearly just don't give a shit about, which is insane, obviously. But seems to be the case. But if you lose like Wednesday or Thursday, I think they take notice.
Okay. You find this stat?
UNC's strength of resume rank right now is 8th and ours is 11th, but it does not yet include the loss that we took today. If UNC loses today, it'd be close. I think more likely than not, actually, we would probably end up with the same seed maybe if we went out and beat UNC.
So we'd both be threes.
If we went out and we beat UNC, I mean, I guess it depends what happens with the other teams. But, like, I don't think if we went out a two is completely impossible. I think it's just unlikely, but I don't think it's completely impossible. But I just don't think a win out is something that we should bank on. I think, like, losing one more game, it feels.
I'm banking right on it. I told you, Wake was the only one that I thought I think we'll beat NC State. I do truly think we'll beat NC State on the road. And the rest of the games. Virginia.
Sorry.
Virginia doesn't scare me because we can shoot the ball from the perimeter this year. So.
I agree.
That's typically the way to deflate them.
UNC is deflating them right now.
Yeah. Then who else is the other two?
There's Louisville.
Louisville and Virginia.
Louisville, Virginia, NC State, UNC. That's all we got.
Okay. Then UNC, obviously. That's the big one where it's somewhat of a toss-up, but I'm very confident we will win that game at home. Yeah, I don't know. I see 4-0.
Yeah, I mean, like, boy, oh boy, if we had just won today, man, my goodness, that would have really helped. Bart Torvik in his tourney cast has, like, in his S-curve, like, Duke 7th and UNC 9th today, again, not including the loss that we just took. Like I said, man, if he has us there, if we just beat UNC and we went out, I don't know, man, like – the Marquettes and the Creightons and the Alabamas and even like the Tennessees, they're vulnerable. They can drop a dumb game here or there. This is just the part of the year where you have, like, if you just keep winning, then good things happen. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
as UNC starts to separate from Virginia. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. But, Virginia just can't make baskets. And now Ryan Dunn's got three fouls. Yeah, forget it. This game is a lock. This is lock city. Bet your mortgage on UNC winning this game.
I hope we can come back to that and clip that. but you know, I don't think it's gonna work this time.
Oh yeah, but,
yeah,
I
yeah.
I mean, genuinely bet your mortgage on UNC. 11 point lead against Virginia is like a 30-point lead against a different team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, I think you know. Unless y'all got anything else,
I got nothing else.
Health, yeah. health. Please with the health.
Y'all going to church tomorrow. Pray for flipping Caleb Foster.
Indeed.
But yeah, we appreciate y'all for tuning in. We'll probably be back. Well, what's the next to our home? Maybe Virginia. I don't think we need a discourse after Louisville, but you know. We'll see. We'll play it by ear and let you guys know. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. And go Duke. We'll catch y'all next time.
Go Duke.